Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. 2 weeks talking.
It is what it is.
Yo, yo, peace. What up, family? We are back in the building. This is Brother Kev, also known as Cosmic Kev.
And this is Raiju.
Hotep Habarigani and Assalamu Alaikum. This is Brother Montoy, a.k.a. Mufasa Rock.
And we are Collective Minds Radio, y'all. We are here. We are in the building. This is Collective Minds, where we all ain't got to think alike, but we all got to think. You dig? Thank the family for joining us. You dig what I'm saying? As we, you know, wind down these last few months of 2021. It's been an interesting week, so we got a lot to talk about, y'all. So make sure y'all tune in. Make sure y'all give us a call. Collective Minds, not a spectator sport. The number is 929-477-1697. And we might not all agree with the opinions, but we do respect everyone's opinion. So, you know, give us a call. Let us know what you think about what's been happening this week. And before we get started, like always, Queen Rigel, my sister, how was your week? And do you have any announcements for us?
Hello, everyone. I had a great week. Just busy. Winding down. If you're in the St. Louis area, Black Friday, we're having a concert at the Ambassador with Bobby Rush and Ms. Robbie Montgomery of Sweetie Pie. It's going to be a very nice show, nice event. So if you want to come out and have a nice time, come on out and see us. That's Black Friday in St. Louis, Missouri at the Ambassador with Bobby Rush and Robin Montgomery singing Ain't My Soul Good Enough.
Oh, look at that. Look at here. Now, look at here. Ain't My Soul Good Enough. You know the... you know the
Ain't My Soul Good Enough.
Right, they be coding the language. Ain't my stuff good enough? She didn't get explicit, but you know what stuff she's talking about. You dig what I'm saying? But, that's what's up. That's what's up.
She's talking about her icy hot.
Yeah,
that
you
mac
know
and
what I'm
saying?
That mac and cheese.
Snappy dugout now. but my brother Mufasa Ra, our good brother, how was your week?
Mm-hmm.
And we missed you last week, my brother, but how was your week? And do you have any announcements for us?
Yeah, I came front. I've had a up and down week. It's been a roller coaster. I'm glad to be back. Shout out to Brother Pianki for stepping in and holding it down for me. I listened to the show a little bit later, and he did a fantastic job. So I really really appreciate Brother Pianki stepping in and holding it down. I've had up and down week. You know, I want to give my sis on the line here, Queen Rigel, give her – I can't give her all her flowers right now. I just give her a flower. But letting her know, you know, that I love her and I appreciate her rolling with me to take care of some family business earlier, and showing, being an example of how, you know, we have to make sure that we put family first. So, I can't give you all your flowers. I just give you, peel you off one flower right now.
Give me a little pet. I'm
You said a whole flower. You're going to need a whole flower, not a bouquet, but a whole, one whole flower.
Yeah. Yeah, I gave her one flower right now. I give her the rest later.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah, we definitely need to be checking on each other. You know what I'm saying? This is the holiday season. And, you know, for those that don't know, because I'm going to just, you know, put it out there and make sure I'm choosing words that's respectful, you know, to the family and whatnot. But there was a story that went viral, you know, this past week. Where a St. Louis power couple, Ronell and Kiana Burns, you know, they had moved to Atlanta. And it was an unfortunate situation where there was a murder-suicide. The wife ended up killing, or Kiana ended up killing Ronell, you know. And there's all type of stories going on. Like I say, you know, Boyce Watkins did a story on it. Willie D did a story. You know, it was in Atlanta papers. They were definitely well known in the, I would say, Midwest region, originally from St. Louis, but, you know, they were well known in the region, let's say, definitely St. Louis. So they were laid to rest this past weekend. And, yeah, and, you know, apparently, you know, the story goes, the narrative of what happened is basically, you know, they were having issues in their relationships, not to get into specifics. And, you know, she didn't want the relationship to end, so she ended up killing her husband, Ronell Burns, and also ended up killing herself. So it was ruled a murder-suicide. And, yeah, she put out a video, I would say like a month, you know, a month before this happened, basically crying out for help, you know, not to negate her actions or whatnot, but she was going through some things mentally, and, you know, it just seems like I guess she couldn't handle what was going on in her life at the time. So, you know, that just speaks to what our brother Mufasa was talking about. We do have to, you know, look out for each other and do all those things. But just real quick, because I want to give folks opinion, and I also want to be, you know, respectful to the families. I want to just pose this question because we had talked about it, you know, this week, and we got a, you know, a lot of different opinions on it. But just to hear Queen Raiju and Brother Mufasa, you know, what do y'all think about the families having their funerals together? You know, keep in mind it was a murder-suicide. They were married, you know, on the verge of a divorce. However, you know, the families did choose to have their funerals together. And, you know, part of the reason, from what I hear, was, you know, due to the kids not, you know, you ain't want to have the kids going to two different funerals and you breaking it up and doing this and that. But you're also having a funeral with the murderer of one of the, you know, of the victim or whatnot, if that makes sense. But I just want to get y'all opinion. We just put that on air because I actually knew them personally. I knew Ronell better as a person and a good brother. You know what I'm saying? I learned a lot from Ronell. I worked with Ronell on a few occasions. Been knowing him since, you know, I was in high school. Good brother. You know what I'm saying? Positive, good energy. You know, so I just want to say rest in power to that brother. But I do want to get y'all opinions on, you know, how do you feel about having those funerals together? If it was your loved one that was involved in a murder-suicide, would you be okay with the funeral being held together? And I guess we go to Queen Raiju first, and then I want to hear what Brother Mufasa got to say.
Okay, well, yeah, I'd like to also send my condolences. I knew Ronell as well. Didn't know his wife, but had the opportunity to meet Ronell years ago. Like Brother Kev said, been knowing them for, you know, their family for a long time. So it's definitely a sad situation. Definitely my condolences go out to the family. But I don't want to be disrespectful, but personally I would not have had the funerals together if I had any say-so about it, you know. Although unfortunate situation is just what it is. It's an unfortunate situation, and we just deal with unfortunate things and unfortunate situations in life. And the experience is not going to be a great one, you know, but it's life. And in life we have situations that's not pleasurable, and we just deal with them, you know. There's no way to really, for me, I don't think it's good to try to sugarcoat it or anything like that. If the kids were left behind due to circumstances like that, and if they have to just attend two funerals, I think it's something that they can manage. I think it may not be a comfortable situation, but I think they can. It's something that they can live through. You know, I personally would just have them to go to two different services. You know, it's any funeral is bad, you know, but it is what it is. This is their circumstance. This is not going to be everybody's circumstance. So if this is their circumstance, then that's just what it is. They have two different funerals to attend. You know, it's ways to be creative around it, where if you don't want to, you know, prolong it and stretch it out, one thing that I can think of is to have the funerals the same day, you know, maybe in the same day in the same church, so the kids don't have to, you know, leave. They can do one and then the next one if they choose to, because some of the children, they it was a blended family, so some they didn't share all of them biologically.
Right.
So he had some older children that may not wanted to attend, you know. So it really probably just this burden may just fall on the younger ones who really have no real knowledge of everything anyway, you know. So if they just have to sit through two, then I just feel like they just sit through two, because this is their circumstance, you know. This is, you know, they're left without either of their parents. This is just their circumstances. So they just do it, and they can live through it. But I could not have the person that murdered my loved one and, you know, side by side doing a funeral with them, because I'm not going to go to up to a casket, you know. And I can kind of leave it there. I think I made my point, you know. So we can high pass.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Brother Mufasa, same question to you. If your loved one, you know, was involved in a murder-suicide, would, you know, if you had your way, would you be okay with the funerals being together, even if they were married or, you know, whatever the situation, would you be okay with that situation?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to shock y'all a little bit. Now, don't think I'm changing my mind on this, because we had mentioned it earlier. And I stayed up, was like, hell no, ain't no way. And it's still like that, like, no way I would want to do that. Because I'm thinking of, you know, in this particular situation, his feelings. How would he feel? Would he?
Right.
Right. I'm thinking of his wishes. He the man that was murdered. Like, how would he feel? So,
right.
You know, I'm still like, no, I don't agree with that. Now, this is for all the Christian people out there. I shouldn't say it like that, because that's probably being disrespectful. But I guess I can understand how some people would just say, hey, you know, we just for the sake of the children, and we're going to just, you know, turn the other cheek and go ahead and do this together. We're going to be the bigger people. So I guess that was the only way I can understand why they would go ahead and roll that and do that like that. Maybe they was just trying to be good Christians, you know, and just say, hey, you know, we're going to go ahead and roll through. But, you know, it would take some serious praying and somebody to try to really coach me into letting something like that go down. But I really, I know, I couldn't do it. I don't agree with that. I think they could have had two separate funerals as well. I mean, like I said, the children, his babies, like 4 or 5 years old, something like that. You know, maybe right. I could have said, okay, well, they're not ready for this right now, so we're going to go ahead and do it for now. You know, go ahead and do this way for the sake of the children because they're little and they don't understand, or they, you know, 8, 9, or 10. So, yeah, it would really take some convincing and soul searching and praying for me to agree with a situation like that. But, I really ain't comfortable in a situation like that. I would say
yes,
no.
Indeed. Yeah, that's
not do that.
Yes, indeed. That's definitely understandable. And, you know, when it all happened, I was kind of on the fence, and I was like, okay, I get, you know, for the sake of the kids. But as I pondered and thought and slept on it and tried to, you know, put myself in that situation, if it was my son, daughter, loved one, I wouldn't be cool with that. You know what I'm saying? That's just me. I wouldn't be cool with that. And like Brother Mufasa said, what would the victim want? You know, he was trying to get out of the relationship. What would the victim want? How would his wishes, you know, be granted or whatnot? So that's kind of what I'll be thinking of. But I do believe that the family was trying to, you know, I guess take the high road, you know, not to speak for them, but they were trying to take the high road and just keep it all together. And I really think that was probably more on her side of the family, the murderer. Probably more on her side of the family, trying to, you know, just keep it together. Okay, she did do something foul and whatnot, but we just want to keep it together. So not only that, but they're also being buried next to each other, which, again, that's like, you know, not only in life, but in death, you have to, you know, because I'm going to just keep it real. Like I told my boy, I say in the end, it seems like she kind of won the whole thing. Not like nobody's keeping score. There's a winner or loser because it's just a big loss for, you know, our community. But, you know, to have them laid together is kind of like, you know what I'm saying? So I don't agree with it, but the family made the decision, and, you know, we definitely want to respect the family, respect everyone that's involved and whatnot. So I just want to say, you know, for me, you know, rest in power to Ronell. You know, he was like a big cousin to me. Like I say, I learned a lot from the brother. He was always positive. He was always kicking, you know, spinning some games to me and trying to get me on the up and up and whatnot. So, you know, and condolences to his family, his twin brother, his cousins, his children. So I just wanted to put that out there because that was a story that did go viral here locally because they were a power couple, you know, that were doing some, you know, some good things as far as being successful in their businesses, you know. But moving right along, I digress. Now, we're going to get to the call lines in a second. This is Collective Minds Radio. Make sure y'all hit us up, 929-477-1697. I know that we do want to talk about the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. He did get acquitted this week, but before we go there, just Brother Kev, Cosmic Kev, I want to talk about Young Dolph being killed. For those that don't know, the rapper Young Dolph was killed Wednesday in his hometown of Memphis. They have two suspects on camera and whatnot. He was at a local cookie shop, you know, just picking up some cookies. They say he was in town doing like a turkey drive, and some guys just ran up on him and gunned him down. Now for me as a hip hop fan, and I'm gonna let y'all chime in, but just as a hip hop fan, I'm about sick of, you know, rappers getting murdered. You know what I'm saying? If you type in list of murdered hip hop musicians, not just, you know, rappers that died of heart attack or natural causes or car accidents or plane crash, whatever. These are people who have actually been shot and killed. There are dozens of rappers that have been shot and killed since the 80s. And for me, as a fan of the genre, you know, I'm sick and tired of it. It's like, this should really hold a mirror up to the hip-hop community, and I would say black people in general, because this is our culture, and we got to take a hold of this. Why can't a black person get successful, come back to their neighborhood, for whatever reason, to give back, to inspire, to whatever? It seems like, and for me, Brother Kev, y'all know me, I speak about the system. It seems like this is exactly what the system wants. And we keep falling into the trap, like, why would you kill this brother? You know what I'm saying? And from what I hear, he was giving back. He was doing stuff for the community. You know, as a matter of fact, he was in town for a turkey drive. So you got these so-called killers and hitters and shooters shooting this man when he could have helped your family, helped your kids, inspired your kids to do something different than being stuck in the same environment. But no, somebody gets it, they makes it, they're making a lot of money, they're successful. They got to move out the hood. And I just think that is crazy. You know what I'm saying? That is, you know, as black people, and I'm going to throw black people in that, because we got to start checking those guys that feel envious because somebody is successful and you wasn't on your grind doing what you had to do to make a better situation for you and your family, but you go hate on this man because he made it or whatever. Like, I don't really know the specifics of how it went down, but it seems like he was killed by people who had less than him, from what I can see. You know what I'm saying? And I just think that's sad. Like I said, there's dozens of rappers from the 80s that have been killed, from Biggie, or starting with Skylar Rock, you know, from BDP, all the way to Tupac, Notorious Big, Big L, Fat Pat, Freaky Ty, Soulja Slim, Mac Dre. Like, all these people have been killed or were killed in their hometown, which I think is sad, because that should actually be the place where you should feel, you know, most protected. You dig what I'm saying? But I just wanted to put that out there, and just, like, I really just don't know what to say behind that. You know, I kind of want to say we can do better, but I feel like I don't want to say that, you know what I'm saying, because I'd be against, like, we can do better, because I don't think we should all be put into that. But in this instance, I just felt like when I first heard it, I was like, and I felt the same way with Nipsey Hussle. I'm like, I can't stand niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was my first reaction, if I'm keeping it 100. I'm like, I hate niggas. And I do hate that mentality, that nigga mentality, because I know where it comes from. It's part of the system. The nigga is a new creation that has been, it's like a Frankenstein, like the good minister says, it's a Frankenstein that has been created by the system. But as black people, we have to rid the quote-unquote nigga mentality out of our community. And I'm
making of a devil.
The making of a devil, exactly. So I'm going to let y'all speak, and then we can, you know, speak about the Kyle Rittenhouse and get to the call line. But if y'all got something to say on the Young Dolph situation, Queen Rigel, go ahead, and then we'll go to Brother Mufasa.
Yeah, no, I understand. You know, but also, too, in addition to what you're saying, because I agree and I feel you, it is sad, any type of murder, you know. I'm just against all violence. If I was the president, and if I can ban one thing, that would be the one thing I would ban: violence. I'm just not with it. I'm so against violence. It's disgusting. I don't, of all kind, any kind, verbal, physical, I don't like it. And it's disgusting. But another thing in addition, though, is what I'm so curious to know is, and this may fall under that jealousy umbrella in a certain way as well, I never heard about these wonderful things that Nipsey Hussle did in the community, nor Young Dolph, until they died. Why aren't these brothers uplifted in the moment? You know, why?
Right.
I mean,
and that, yeah, no, let me real quick. I'm going to slide the answer in because they're the type of brothers who don't really like to publicize this stuff. They like to do the good work and then just let it be what it is, because some people may look at it like you clout chasing, or you just doing it for the camera. You just doing it to be known and this and that. But these brothers were doing good work, solid work in their community, like Nipsey Hussle. He was building coding labs for kids. You know, he had community center. Like, he was doing a lot of things, just like from what I hear with Young Dolph. But I just think they didn't really want – they wanted to just do the work and not look for the publicity, you know, like it was fake.
Yeah.
But they just wanted to do it just because they were genuinely, you know, wanted to help.
And that's fine.
But, yeah,
I get that. I get that. I do. I understand it. However, are they against? And I feel like if you want to help the community, I mean, are you against partnering with someone to, you know? It just seems like they can still be uplifted, you know, where they can also have more impact. You know what? Because I still feel like they didn't have to do a ton of interviews, but just like people mentioning it now, why won't nobody still uplift these brothers? I know you may not want to talk about this, young man, but I appreciate what you're doing. You know, I'm gonna give you a shout out. I just never heard anybody speak of them in this manner until after they're dead. You don't have to clout chase. You don't have to do a whole lot of publicizing themselves personally, but if people are recognizing their good work, just like they're announcing it now, why you can't make announcements in the moment for these people to uplift them? You know, like, hey, you know, as a way to even just help them doing what they're doing. You know, I just don't understand that. But I mean, I get what you're saying. Maybe they just didn't want none of that. I don't know, but I just found that pretty weird, because especially with Nipsey Hussle, I'm like, he did all of this, so he touched all these people, he's doing all this, why no one gave him his flowers in the moment? So that's just how it seems, basically.
Gotcha. Mufasa Rob, what you think about the Young Dolph shooting in his hometown of Memphis, Tennessee?
He's probably you know, He's off.
Brother Mufasa, you with him?
No, he's not.
Okay, but yeah, so, you know, with the Young Dolph thing, family, as a hip-hop community, you know, we got to protect. And I'm going to just put this out there because I feel like it was, you know, an inside job. So, but that's neither here nor there. That's just my conjecture because, you know, I just feel like it was just too calculated. If you look at the shooters, they were, you know, masked up, glove up. It's like they were ready and waiting on a brother, and they got a tip, you know, that he was going to be at this particular spot. So I just think, you know, all that backstabbing stuff. And then, come on, let's look at it, family. If the coronavirus and the PPP loans and them printing up money, if that didn't show you nothing, it should have showed you that there is enough money for everybody. You hear what I'm saying? You might have to mute our brother. Yeah, family, there's enough money for everyone. Like, let's be for real. Like, Coke and Pepsi are thriving. Their CEOs don't be banging on each other. They just do what they do, you know, and see who has the best sales. Like, but they both getting money. You got all these restaurants and fast food places and like just everything, but family, there is enough for everyone.
Right.
And just
money,
for someone,
yeah,
it's like it's there. So we don't have to, and then because that's the big trap is the money, because that traps you, you know, with the bling bling, the shiny things and all that stuff, but that's all an illusion. Anything you can see with your eyes is an illusion and is not going to be here. Anything you can't see is real. You know, love, respect, caring. You know, all those things you can't really see. Gratitude, like being grateful, like all those things you can't see, but those are the real things. But the things you can see, that's fake. That stuff can burn up. It can demolish. It can get old, like rust. Like, come on, fam. Yeah. There's enough money.
It don't last at
material
all.
Things, but it don't last. There's all of that stuff. There's enough for everyone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, this one kind of hit home. I wasn't a huge fan of Young Dawg, but I definitely liked his music. I thought he was grinding. I respected, you know, how he was moving from what I was seeing as a fan. And, this was just sad. Sad and unnecessary. And then you put Memphis, you make Memphis hot. You know, the place where the business he got shot, which is a black-owned business, you shut that down. You got police everywhere. It's just not a good look for the community. They shaking down everybody like, come on, fam. That's just not a good look, in my opinion. So, Brother Mufasa, did you want to speak on Young Dawg?
Yeah, I was going to say, my thing with him is what? He had been shot in L.A. You know,
true.
A couple
right.
years
true.
Back. I think it was 2017, 18, he got shot down. It's like,
yeah.
Dude, what
true.
Are you doing? Keep on going around thinking it's all good without seriously watching out for yourself. And
right.
I'm the same way. It hit me hard, too, because I like Young Dawg. And
yeah.
I watched the drink champs he did with Noriega. And, you
mm-hmm.
know, Noriega was trying to explain to him, really giving him, you know, telling him from the heart, like, bro, you got to watch how you're moving on her. And he just felt
mm-hmm.
like, oh, I'm good. Like, man,
mm-hmm.
you done pulled up to this cookie store in the Lambo.
Right.
In the Lambo with the camouflage that everybody know that's you. You know you done had,
right.
you know, beef with people. You
right.
know you didn't exchange words with people. So you should be moving careful with your life, bro. Like, the things
right.
that happen. You in the hood. You know, so
mm-hmm.
I'm the same way. It hit me, too. It's unfortunate. That it happened. I hope they find the guys who did it.
Yes, indeed.
It seems like it's a lot of. I heard they found the car.
Mm-hmm.
the car stashed at somebody's house or whatnot. But
yeah, I heard that too.
And hopefully
yeah.
they find the guys who did it
yeah.
you know, justice will be served. But yeah, it's really unfortunate because you know everybody like with these street guys they have. The street side, but on the other end, Dawg was a family man. He was, he
that's
did
right.
something. He was doing one thing that was really impressive to me. How he was, they say he had a big portfolio of, you know, houses, and he
a
was buying his
right.
son a house every year for his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So that when he
mm-hmm.
turned 21, he could turn over 21 houses to him. Yeah,
that's right.
I was like,
that's right.
yeah.
Now he was
that's
doing
right.
what again,
yep.
man?
He was he would buy his son when he had his son. He would buy his son a house every year.
Okay.
And he the goal was when his son turned 21, he would turn that portfolio houses over to his son for his 21st
okay.
birthday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
yeah. And maybe
so he
you
had
know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had. Yeah, he definitely had some things going on. He was taking care of his family. But maybe that needs to be the shift. In the narrative, in the music. I don't know, you know, how you go about that, but maybe, and somebody mentioned this in an Instagram post that actually knew Young Dawg. He was like, I was trying to encourage the brother to speak more on his business ventures, real estate, in his songs, you know, not just in interviews, but in your songs, you know, find a way to incorporate, you know, what you're doing on a positive side and not just, you know, quote-unquote glorifying the selling drugs and violence and this and that, but talk about some of your business ventures. Talk about your real estate. Talk about, you know, trust funds for your kids and babies and all this type of stuff. Maybe that needs to be the narrative that's shifted because, you know, if we just talking about, as a community, a hip-hop community, we just talking about guns, drugs, and death, and, that, I mean, that's what we're going to get. You know what I'm
right,
saying? But
I'm
me,
like,
as an older man.
Encourage people to do something else.
Yeah, exactly. Encouraging people to do something else. And me, as an older man who grew up, you know, all my life in hip-hop, it may be time to change that narrative. You know, switch it up. You know, talk about the positive things that are going on. Yeah, we can talk about the negative, but let's talk about the future that we want to see in our communities, not the future, the present. You know, not talk about the present situation, but talk about the future that we want to see in our communities. So, you know, it is what it is. People talk about his label and whatnot, but I think the labels are complicit in a lot of these deaths. You know, they talk about Empire. I think that's who Young Dolph was with, but a lot of these labels, in my opinion, should be liable for a lot of these deaths, because you're not going to just cut somebody a $1 million deal without doing your due diligence and knowing what they into, who their associates are, and all this type of stuff. So they know what's going on, and I think to a certain degree they kind of fund it, because like Jada Kiss say, dead rappers get better promotion. You dig what I'm saying? And that's unfortunate, but that's true. You know, but I digress on that one. Rest in peace, Young Dolph. We about to get to the call lines in a second. This is Collective Minds Radio. That was our brother Mufasa Rogers speaking. I am Cosmic Kev, and we got Queen Rigel on here as well. Now, the big news this week, your boy Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted. I ain't going to go too much in on it because I know the caller got a lot to say, but he was acquitted on all gun charges and all charges in the self-defense case where he shot three people in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Two of them got killed. He was a young 17-year-old. He came from Illinois to Wisconsin for the Jacob Blake protest and ended up getting into a confrontation and whatnot with three people, I guess, and he shot and killed two. And this week he was acquitted on all charges. His defense was self-defense, and, yeah, the jury acquitted him. So I ain't going to go too much in on it. I'm going to let y'all go, or we can get to the call lines, and I'll respond, you know, accordingly. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised. Well, I was just going to say I'm not surprised. You know, I'm sure nobody is surprised. I knew that he would get off, you know. So I'll just say that. And we can, I can respond to any other callers. I can leave it there. Mufasa, you need to say something before you want to set your prayers
I actually got a question. My question for y'all is, what do y'all think he should have been charged with, and how much time should he have served? That's my question, I'll make the statement.
Okay.
I think he should have got charged with something. So what, I'm not sure about the terms and stuff, so I'll leave that an open canvas, but I will say I do should be charged with something. I'm just not good with the legal terms, because I don't think he should have just got off scot-free, because it's not like he was just a totally innocent person in this. So I don't think he should have got off scot-free, because I think then you set the narrative and you give people the false impression, like, well, I can just go take matters in my own hands. If the police not doing a great job, I can go take matters in my own hands and take care of it. And then if somebody want to get back at me, I can cry self-defense. I think that also paint that picture. If he get nothing, like he's just totally innocent, you don't want to just start something and then when somebody retaliate and then you cry self-defense, like you wasn't a part of everything, you know, the whole situation. First off, like I said the last show, my 17-year-old child would not be at a violent protest. That wasn't the first day of the protest, if I'm not mistaken. Why would a 17-year-old be in that environment? I mean, most parents are not going to want their child in a hostile environment, so hostile where he has to have a gun to protect himself. He ain't going to war, you know. Exactly. So why is he there? I think he put himself in harm's way. And usually when a person is willing to put themselves in harm's way, usually their attitude is, I wish a nigga would. So I think
right.
he should have been, I don't think all his decisions were totally innocent. So therefore, I don't think he should get off with nothing, because I do think in that case you do set the mindset of people where they feel like they can take matters in their own hands. You know, because I know there was a time where they had sent out some type of email, you know, the protesters, I think the cow group that were complaining about the protesters and what the protesters were doing, they felt like the police officers wasn't doing enough. So they figured they're going to go in and step in, you know, and it just wasn't their place. It just wasn't their place. I already said, I mean, I'm going to wrap it up here. So everybody who listened last week, I've already acknowledged the fact that as far as him shooting him, I think that was just a natural reaction. I would have shot somebody that's coming at me, even if I'm in the bed wrong, because that's just natural survival. If you do something wrong, you still breaking into somebody's house or they call anything. If they catch you, if you got a gun, more than likely you gonna shoot them, because that's just natural survival. Nobody want to get shot. So if I was in his situation, just like everybody said, I would have shot too. Yeah, I would have too. You know, natural survival. You're trying to survive. But I don't think he should just get off scot-free, Mufasa. I don't know all the legal terms, so I can't say what I think he should be charged with, but I do think he should be charged with something. And as far as how much time, I think he should get, you know, because it did result in two deaths. You know, his actions and his roles the role that he played did result in two deaths. You know, I think he should have got more than, 2-3 years, more than that. Because it resulted in some deaths. If he had been at home where he should have been at his age, then them boys probably wouldn't have even got killed.
Exactly. So, yeah, so for me to answer the question, if we could just start with the obvious. He should not have – he broke the law by crossing state lines with an AR-15, with an assault rifle. So right there he broke the law. So we could just start there. Whatever the penalty is, minimum to maximum, he should get the time in between there for that charge. You know, crossing state lines as a minor with an assault weapon. Boom. Now, his actions resulted into two people being killed. So that's, I think, at the least, like manslaughter or negligent homicide, like, you know, like Queen Roger said, I'm not too familiar with the terms and whatnot and all the times, but at least manslaughter or negligent homicide, because his actions resulted in two people dying, three people being shot. Now, I look at this as equivalent as someone going into a bar to start a fight. You instigating, you just waiting on somebody to do the smallest little thing, you instigating, and then when they pop off, you shoot them and yell self-defense. You know what I'm saying? That's how I'm looking at this case, which I don't think that's right. You cannot go into a hostile situation looking for trouble, which I believe he was, and then claim self-defense when people are like, there's an active shooter, there's someone who's around pointing weapons and this and that. You can't claim self-defense, because of course you're going to defend yourself if someone is attacking you, but you fail to mention that you initiated the altercation. You dig what I'm saying? So, yeah, he should definitely be charged with, at the very least, a minor crossing state lines with an AR weapon, with an assault rifle. And, well, I'm going to just say this, and then we get to the call lines. When it comes to the system of white supremacy, everything goes back to the victim. Who is the victim? Who is the victim? Again, in a system that and a white supremacy that I believe we live in, it goes back to who is the victim. In this case, the victims were white people, and a lot of black people saying, hey, why should we be tripping? Hey, this is white-on-white crime, and he shot two white people. Yes, he did, but the victims were considered far-left white people, which means they were on the side of Black Lives Matter, Antifa, all these groups that go against, quote-unquote, the right and white supremacy. These are the victims that got killed. So, yeah, he's trying to get off because he's a white male. You know what I'm saying? He's a white male. But this is why you have black people in the hood that kill black people. They may do a few years, but they're able to get out because the victim was black. And we know the value of black life when it comes to this system. So even though these people were white, they were considered to be on the other side. You know, I would even go too far as to say that they may have been considered nigger lovers,
black lovers.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, black lovers on another side. So that's why they wouldn't take it serious. But trust and believe, if you were to kill a white person who was affluent, maybe rich, these people didn't really have a lot of money. You kill a rich white person, you're going to see the consequences. You feel what I'm saying? And again, this is why you can have black people that do multiple murders in the hood, and they're able to get out, cooperate with the police, get out, kill some more, get out, because the victims, it always goes back to who the victims are. And we saw this with the black police officer in Minnesota when he shot the white lady. It was a white lady from Australia that got killed, and he got locked up and did time. You know what I'm saying? And when you see many other cases with police shootings and the victims are black, a lot of times they get off. So just remember, family, it always goes back to who the victims are. And that's how they determine the severity of the punishment. And I digress. But, yeah, he definitely should have
got
some time.
But look at this, though, Brother Kevin, too. Another thing, too, we also have to remember that these protesters were there protesting an unarmed black man that was shot by the police. So
people's narrative
has already looking at these group of people and not a
like
good
on the other side. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the other part is the narrative is, okay, if you're a white person and you want to side with them, yeah, you can be caught and we not go really trip in the overall scheme of things. If you're on that side, Black Lives Matter, Antifa are protesting for, you know, unarmed black people getting killed, they're sending a message that you're on the other side. So it's okay to kill you. You dig what I'm saying? It's okay because you're on the other side. That should be a message to you as a white person to fall in line and stay on code. You dig what I'm saying? So it's a lot of dynamics with this trial. I think race has a lot to do with it, you know, whether, you know, some people believe it or not, but there's a lot of dynamics to this trial. But I digress. You know, we can hit the call lines. I don't know if Mufasa wanted to respond or what, but, yeah, let's get it.
Okay. Area code 314-381. Call me on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
You know, y'all disappoint me. Really do.
Y'all, you're right. I take that as a compliment.
You and Roger disappoint me. And Mustafa, would you wake yourself up? Because all y'all must have been sleeping when all this information and trial went down. Now, let me ask you this. Fact, the man did not cross state lines with a weapon. And it wasn't illegal, according to Wisconsin's law. The weapon was there at the car dealership of the friend who bought it for him, was teaching him how to use it. That had been burnt up the night before. His mama did not take him over. A grown man came and got him. His father lived in Wisconsin, Kenosha, and he worked there and paid taxes to the city. So what did he do that was illegal? Now that we got that straightened out, and you made a point, Kevin, to say, well, he crossed state line as a minor with a weapon. Now, he didn't do that. Now what?
Okay,
another
well, look,
point.
Let me say this, and I'm going to let you
come
go.
Come on.
Because this is easily Googled Wisconsin state law.
It was in court, man. Listen to the trial.
But I'm telling you what this says. Any persons under the age of 18 years old who possesses and goes armed with a dangerous weapon is guilty of a Class A misdemeanor. So he was
the weapon that is not illegal.
He said any person.
He was 17 years old, right?
Under 18.
All right, then this. The gun was not illegal. It wasn't less than 16 inches long.
Okay.
They measured it in court. And if it was illegal, why did the judge give it back to him at the end of the trial?
Because the judge was on his side. The judge.
Oh,
was
the judge wasn't on nobody's side. Well,
yes,
why did the police
yes,
keep
yes.
it then? So you guys, and you put that information out. Black folks believe that stuff. I mean, this is Black Station that's listening to you. My goodness,
but
man. And here's the point.
Exactly,
you look at him, a Class A misdemeanor. You had three felons trying to harm him. Why did the guy who got his bicep shot off, why did he have a gun? He's a felon. Had been accused of sexually abusing at least five boys, one as young as nine, in a home for boys. Beating his wife.
Right.
Matter of his wife is in prison, in jail, for commercial shoplifting.
Right.
The black man that
tried
to stump him to fly and jump leap, he was a fella. Kyle shot at him two times.
Right. I'm not here to defend the victims, though. That's what I'm saying.
Well, this, but
I'm talking about
but you,
Kyle
but you,
Rittenhouse's
but you,
accident.
But you're saying that Kyle started it all. He did.
Because
I tell you how it all started.
He shot those people. Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
He should have shot those people. It was self-defense. Rosenblum texted and said, if I catch you alone, I'm going to kill you. When he shot the first guy, he called the police and told them that what he done. Then it took the police so long because they fooling with other stuff, he went looking for the police because people at that location was talking about shooting him. As he was walking, Rosenblum was following him, firing gunshots in the air. Once again, what was Rosenblum doing with a pistol? And he's a felon. And he was calling him the N-word. All that stuff was going down. As far as Blake is concerned, Blake had a court order not to be at that birthday party or some kind of party. The mother of his children asked for the court order, and when he showed up there with two kids in the back seat, she called the police. And he did have a weapon because in an interview with him, after it was all said, he said he had a weapon, and there was a weapon that was there in the car or in the SUV. Where you guys get your information from? That's enough on that. Tell Mustafa to wait. If he's going to snore, at least be in tune.
Yeah. Mute him, Queen.
Play
Rodgers.
Some music or something.
But no. I respect that opinion, so I'm going to keep it real. I'm not going to say he shouldn't have shot them because at that point it would be self-defense if someone is attacking you. But my only thing is he broke several laws by even being in that situation in the
he
first place.
He did not break no laws, Kevin.
There.
I ain't saying no more.
He should have never been there.
He should have been there. A grown man brought him there to help clean graffiti off the building.
Come on now. See, now we just add another stuff.
A grown man brought him there. He wasn't driving. How you think he got from where he came from?
He's a minor. He should
that
not
don't
have
make
been
no
in that
difference.
Situation.
There's nothing in the state statutes.
There's different laws for minors and adults. He should not have been there.
What law did he break? Show me. I tell you what. You show me in the Wisconsin state statutes. You was reading something out of a newspaper. Like CBS said he was a murderer before the trial was over, and they're going to get sued to heck.
They could be sued, but I'm reading something off of the Wisconsin state law statute where it says the person's under 18 should not be possessing or arming a dangerous weapon, and that's a Class A misdemeanor. So we can just start right there.
His rifle was not. Well, go ahead and describe what a dangerous weapon is. Less than 16 inches long. Now, if that's the case, why come the prosecutor did not push the issue?
Because the prosecutor bumbled the case too. He was
on
the whole thing.
Well, then
the
why don't they
trial,
then?
The whole
well,
trial
then,
was rigged from the beginning.
The jury had the same information. The jury had the information. They didn't read where he done anything wrong. That man didn't do anything wrong. Y'all just coming up with some stuff. Now here's the point. Did Blake do something wrong?
No, we're not talking about Blake. Now you trying to conflate.
No, yeah, you
issues.
Got to talk about him.
No,
wait a minute.
No, we don't
because
have to talk
what
about
he
Blake.
Done, what he done caused it all. He had
no
damn business being
Kyle
there.
Kyle Rittenhouse done caused it all.
Kyle Rittenhouse came after Blake.
Exactly.
Blake had a court order. Blake had a court order not to be there. And what happened to him after the police tried to stop him and question him, they even used a taser. You remember how people say, why can't we don't use the taser first before resorting to deadly weapon? Well, they used a taser.
Exactly. But look,
and he took
look,
the time
brother,
to pull the prongs out and throw them on the ground.
Now, listen, my brother Sean Moore made a great point. You need an AR-15 to clean graffiti off a building?
The AR-15... Listen. The weapon was there at the place.
To provide medical,
I heard you say that. Now let me respond to that. Let me respond to that. Let me respond to that. So you gotta use some. I mean, you gotta be fair with this, because you got a case over there in Arlington, Texas, where you got an 18-year-old high school student that was beating up on a 15-year-old, throwing him around like a rag doll. Then when he got done with that, he went out to his backpack, which shouldn't have had a pistol in it, but it did. He comes back into the classroom and shoots the 15-year-old, I think, four times and shot two other people that wasn't doing nothing.
Right, but just
now,
do
let's
one
see
case
what,
at a time. Let's stick to the let's
well,
stick
now,
to the written
well,
house
you're right. I'm just going to tell you. Let's see what the argument is on that case with that black kid, youth. Let's see what the argument is on him. Now, as far as...
So, he went to...
No,
again,
we're
going to
talk
like
about
that.
I ain't going to talk about that.
Okay.
Because we're going to see the bias and the hypocrisy with him getting a $75,000 bail bond and the police officer charging him. White police officer only charged him with simple assault. He premeditated and walked out and came back with the gun. The same way Michelle Alexander done down in Florida. Suicide. You know, there have been a lot of suicide around St. Louis. You had a case up there at Penrose Park where a black man came up there to the park across from the you know, right there at King's Highway, and I guess that's Penrose, right across from Matthew Dickens, the little baseball field on the right. And he shot his wife, and I think he shot the kids, too. I think he shot two kids.
Wow.
Then you had another case out there. I think this was in Franklin County. It was either Catawissa or maybe it was out there by Six Flags. And this Nigerian was married to this white woman. And she killed five of her kids and herself. I think either four kids or five kids. So, I mean, that's a lot of that stuff going on that you don't even hear about. about people committing suicide, killing their spouses and that.
Yeah, and, that's a bad
thing. And you talking about moving out the hood. Who's going to stay in the hood when they can get out of it? If you got children, you can't send your children to school.
Right, no, I get it, but I'm saying I just hate that it has to be that way. You know, and people talk about the crabs in a bucket mentality, but crabs don't belong in no bucket. You dig what I'm saying?
Crabs crabs don't belong in a bucket. And your politician, your Muslim politicians too, you got TV Alameen. He sends his kids all the way out to CBC, way out there.
Right, and I get it, but it's just unfortunate that, you know, if you're black and successful, you do have to move out.
You're absolutely right. You're gonna move out. Look, your insurance rate's gonna be higher. I mean, it's a red line area.
Exactly.
So State Farm draws a red line around and say, if you live within this red line, your rates are gonna be higher.
That's a fact.
You got the real estate value. If you live within this red line, likelihood nobody's going to buy your house. The school, if you live in this red line area, these schools are worse than the ones outside of the area.
That's subpar, exactly.
And then your likelihood of getting killed. Look up there at Natural Bridge and Vanderbilt. I mean, it's just terrible. Look at Natural Bridge and Fair. You had a woman crossing the street. A car turned the corner at the Fair and Natural Bridge, headed west, speeding, and ran over the woman, cut her in two. Her top torso went in the air and then came back down on the car, busted out the window, and it was sitting there on the passenger seat, top half of her body.
Right.
And this
fool kept
driving. He surely had to see her.
Yeah, I mean, that just be my thing. Like, why can't we see that this is how the powers that be want this? They want it like this. So why can't we just do that?
Man, ain't nobody. Ain't no power. They don't even give a care. No, whoever they is.
No, they do.
Whoever they is don't care
isolated,
about that area. You talking about some day. Man, this stuff been going on forever.
Right, but they do, though, because you notice this stuff doesn't
spill
out in
the day, Kevin?
Clayton, and these affluent.
Kevin, who is this day?
The they are the powers that be.
Who is the powers to be? You got a black female mayor, Tashara Jones. You got half the board of aldermen or more is black. You got a president of the board of aldermen black. You got a comptroller, Darlene Green. She's black. You got a police chief, Hayden. He's black. Who's the powers to be? You got Cori Bush, who's the congressperson. She's black, who got elected off her bullhorn during Black Lives Matter. Right.
So I'm going to give you this. All those black people you name are part of the Democratic, I don't want to say plantation, but they're part of the Democratic movement. So they have to take talking points from the Democrats. If it doesn't align with the Democratic agenda, TD Alameen, Yaphet Alameen,
Jamila Nasheed, they Democrat.
Right.
They pretty good damn
politicians. Exactly. They are Democrats, but what I'm telling you is they have to adhere to the Democratic agenda, and in my opinion, the Democratic agenda hurts black people. They front
Who is this Democratic agenda? Is it the party that blacks vote? Do blacks vote for them?
Of course, yeah.
St. Louis has been Democrat for how long, Kevin? Almost older than Roger, for 72 years. Almost older than Roger, 72 years.
So that's my point. Why don't we understand that the Democrats
are not
our friends? I don't know.
Ain't nobody's stopping you from knowing. So that stuff about saying that the days is keeping, I don't understand it. Maybe it is, but I don't understand it. Anyway, wake up Mustafa before he choke himself, and let's go on with the show.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate you, caller. We appreciate Brother P. You know what I'm saying? Thank you for stepping in last week. We definitely appreciate you. I definitely enjoy, going back and forth with you. I think we may be on the same page, but there's a few slight differences in, you know, how we approaching the solution, I think. But, you know, I always respect my brother P. You know, he's an elder to me, so definitely respect what he's saying. But I do disagree on a few things that he comes with. But all in all, good brother. He is alumni, and we appreciate you, bro. But if you just joined us, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. We are here. We are discussing the happenings for the week. Hit us up, 929-477-1697. We've been talking about the Kyle Rittenhouse. He was acquitted this week. We also mentioned rapper Young Dolph was killed in Memphis. You know, what can we do to stop the rappers getting killed? It seems like the most dangerous job in America is a rapper. Like, come on. Like, that's what, like, you could be a construction worker, police, all like, but if you're a rapper, you know, you got to protect yourself. But hit us up. Let us know what you think. Anything else you got on your mind, hit us up and let us know. This is Collective Minds. We ain't all got to think alike, but we all have to think. Yeah, you want to hit the call lines, Roger?
Yeah, because Brother P, he didn't really address nothing. He wasn't talking about nothing with that on that case, though.
He was all over the place. He went to Jeff Blake. I'm like,
yeah,
Jeff Blake, now.
Brother P wasn't saying duly squat about that. I mean, at the end of the day, I have children. He has children. I guarantee you, he wouldn't have not let his 17-year-old child go out into no hostile environment. Forget how long the gun was. All that stuff is irrelevant to me. That boy, that baby, he wasn't no grown man. Whatever y'all want to say, well, the law says this. Forget that. My 17-year-old child is a child.
That's a child.
I'm still taking care of that person. And no way will want my 17-year-old child going out. If you mean I'm going to allow some grown person come to my house at any time of the day or night to take my child to a hostile environment talking about some wiping some graffiti off a building? Are you crazy?
Exactly.
If the gun was legal to me. It ain't about how far he traveled, if his family lived there, if he worked there, he paid taxes there. None of that is irrelevant. That 17-year-old baby, just like he was up in court crying and they calling his, looking like he's a friendly little child, all that, he shouldn't have been in a hostile environment where he needed to have a gun at any time. That's just the bottom line.
Exactly.
So forget, they measured the gun. Forget all that. That ain't nothing. That ain't about nothing. That baby should not have been there. See how he crying up in court? He's fragile. He shouldn't have been there. That wasn't his fight. That wasn't his environment. He can't even handle it in court. This boy shouldn't have been there. He was out of his element. He shouldn't have been there. He's 17. You're going to let some grown man pick your child up and take him to a house environment that where he was at risk. He could have been shot and killed. That sound foolish.
Exactly.
Talking about they didn't measure some gun. Nobody cared about them measuring a gun. I don't care if the gun was short or long. It don't matter. He shouldn't have been there.
He shouldn't have been out there, period. Exactly. We can start there.
Area code 315-767. Call me on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
There ain't no point in me saying nothing. Y'all don't feel what I got to say. So go on to the next caller so you can get some more feedback.
No. Go ahead. No, caller. Go ahead. Please express your opinion, and I'm going to let you ride. I'm not even going to say nothing. But I do want to hear your opinion on this Kyle Rittenhouse, and then we can go to the next caller. But I'm not going to interrupt. I'm not going to say nothing. This is Collective Minds. Let's go.
All right, then. So at this point, you're really, really disappointing me because you have to be willfully ignorant or evil to the point that you're spreading the propaganda that divides and conquers us as a people. Because I know that Piaki already got on you about when you stated that he had crossed the state lines with the gun and with that firearm, which you know now that he didn't do that. He received it at the car dealership. His friend was there waiting for him. The fact that he did not have a dangerous weapon because that rifle was not categorized as a dangerous weapon because it was longer than 18 inches. So he did not break any laws because he did not have a dangerous weapon. The fact that he was under the age of 18 didn't matter at that point either because the rifle was longer than 18 inches, which means that as a 16-year-old, he could have it, that he could use it. He could not use a pistol. If he would have had a pistol or a short barrel rifle, then he would have been illegal. But because he was over the age of 16 and he had a legal rifle, then he didn't break any laws that way. Now, the fact that he shouldn't have even been there, that was his community. Whether he lived right on the other side of the state line or not, that was his community. That's where he worked. That's where his grandfather lived. That's where his father lived. That's where all of his friends lived. He just happened to live. It'd be like if you had a friend that did all of his business right there in St. Louis, but he happened to live in East St. Louis. But all of his people were of St. Louis. But he just happens to live in East St. Louis for some reason. He found a better rent over there or something, and that's where he went. But all of his other activities are in St. Louis. He was from Kenosha, but his mother divorced his father, and she went across there, and so he was living with his mother on the other side of town, which just happened to be on the other side of a state line border. That would be like you going over to see Toy. You guys both live in St. Louis, but you live in different subdivisions of St. Louis. You have no reason going over to help Toy over there and help Mufasa over there and I can't even think of the names of the little areas now. But
well found.
Your point taken.
Somebody lives in Ferguson, and they have family in Bellefonte. So now they're in Bellefonte supporting their family. All of a sudden, they ain't a part of that community. Why are they even there? They should have never been there. But he was supporting his family. He was supporting his community. He was supporting his friends. Now, the minute you start saying that people should not stand up for their communities, he was just a child. At 17, you know you can join the military, right? You can join the military at 17. At 16, you can get married and have children.
Right.
So why can't you go out and stand up for your community? Why can't you help your people maintain their infrastructure? Then you
okay. Well, let me ask you this.
That want to take advantage of the situation. You have three people that are out there taking advantage of a movement that they're not really a part of, but they're out there because they want to cause chaos, they want to cause strife, and they want to loot. They're just taking advantage of a good time. And then they got caught up in the mob mentality and decided to attack this kid. And then they got killed for it or got shot for it. Those three people were not a part of Black Lives Matter. They just happened to be out there while that was going on.
Right. But you just said it. Kyle Rittenhouse was a minor. He was a minor, so he had no business being out there.
Why not?
Because he was a minor. Because he's a minor.
It
does
matter.
That matters because you're a minor versus an adult. It does matter. That matters a lot.
Can you go?
He had no business being out
there. Okay, when you were 17, could you go outside?
Of course.
Could you
but
go outside?
My parents are not going to allow me to go into a hostile situation.
It doesn't matter what your parents would
knowingly.
It doesn't matter what your parents would do. His parents are different people. His parents have different set of values than you. His parents care about their community. His parents care about him being a man of honor and integrity and taking care of and being a part of his community. That's what's wrong with us. We stick together with the wrong parts of our community, and when we got the good parts of our community to do something, we call them Uncle Toms and sellouts.
Right. So speaking of that, let me just ask you this, and then I'm going to leave it alone. In your honest opinion, what would happen if Kyle Rittenhouse was black? Other things equal, if Kyle Rittenhouse was a black 17-year-old kid, same situation, everything else the same, how do you think that would have played out?
I'm glad you asked me this question. Honestly. Because,
let's be honest. Just keep it real.
Honestly. I'm going to tell you, honestly, probably nothing. It would have got swept under the rug. It would have been like nothing happened. Because there was Chinese people. There was Asian people shooting people in the crowds out there. There was Hispanic people that were out there shooting. And there was all those Muslims that had their rifles. And they were protecting
their
areas.
But what are the murders, though? And what? I don't hear about any other murders.
Some of them were black men with rifles. And they were protecting
what
and shooting into
though?
The crowd
what
as well.
Other murders?
It got
what other
buried.
Murders, though? What other
they,
murders? So you telling me other people
those
got killed?
Those were murders. Hey, those
they were
murders. They were not murders.
He
fired at those
people.
People in self-defense. He defended himself. He did not murder them. They were aggressing upon him, and he killed them. If he would have shot them for no reason, or if he would have shot them out of malice, that would have been murder. He shot them because they were aggressing upon him. They were threatening his life. That would be like saying all the people that I killed while I was in combat, I murdered all of those people. I murdered a few people. Yeah, there's a few people that didn't have to shoot that I did. But most of the people that I killed, I did not murder. There's a big difference between murdering somebody and killing somebody.
Okay, point taken. I got you.
No, it's not a point taken. It's a truth. Now, listen to this.
No,
I got a question for you. I got a question for you. You know I carry. You know I stay armed.
Right.
I stay armed. I've been in your house armed. You know that.
Right.
I stay with a piece. So just because I have a piece on me, does that mean I'm an aggressor?
No, but look, this means you're an aggressor. If you go into a bar and pick a fight with somebody, and y'all start fighting, and then you shoot them, you were the aggressor.
But you went into a whole different direction. Kyle Rittenhouse did not pick a fight with anybody. He was de-escalating fights.
But
he
I'm
was
saying, he went
he
into a...
He tried to leave the fight. He tried to get away from that guy, and that guy would not let him leave, and that guy grabbed at him, so he shot him. He did not aggress
he went
anybody.
Into a...
You cannot pose the fact, the saying that if I aggress somebody... Yes, if I aggressed somebody, then yes, and I was at fault. But I would not aggress
anybody. He went into a hostile situation. He went into a hostile situation, instigated.
He did.
There's videos of people saying, he was pointing guns at me. He was doing this. If you're pointing guns at people and trying to bark orders and do this and that, yes, you are instigating. You're looking for a reaction so you can shoot somebody.
Did you hear the verdict when they said, unnamed individual, not guilty. When they said unnamed individual, not guilty, that was the person that they said that he was instigating. But that person said he was not instigating, and that person wanted to remain unnamed. So that charge got dropped because he was not instigating. When the picture that you saw with you, when you thought he pointed his rifle, that was just him moving. But they caught the frame just right to where they could frame it as. That was propaganda framing as, if you watch the entire video, he was just moving. He was just turning around, and he was putting his rifle down because he was done pointing it at the one guy that was already threatening him. He wasn't going to shoot him. He wasn't going to shoot him, so then he put his rifle down.
Right, because after he shot the first person,
he was
an active shooter.
He was being aggressive.
Right, and after he shot the first person, they start saying there's an active shooter around.
They did.
And he, exactly. So he was active shooter. So naturally, if you're trying to – okay, so the guy that's trying to stop the active shooter, where does he fit in?
I understand what you're saying. The guy with the skateboard, he thought there was an active shooter going on.
Right,
but
so what does he
Gage,
do? Like,
that was,
how did, like,
that's not what was happening. What happened was Gage went over and talked to Kyle and said, hey, man, after he shot Rosenbaum, Kyle got up and went to go to the police while another guy was rendering aid. There was another guy there rendering aid, and so Kyle said, I'm going to go find the police. So Kyle was going to the police car. He saw the police over there. He was running to the police. So the Gage guy walked up, the guy with the pistol walked up to him, or ran up to him, caught up to him, and said, hey, man, what's going on? He said, I'm going to get the police. So Gage ran back to the crowd, and the crowd said, hey, that guy just shot this guy. And then the guy, right. the Gage guy, who got paid for his testimony. He got paid, and he got all kinds
of
benefits
for his testimony.
Yeah,
he actually testified. Yeah, Gage was, just for the listeners, Gage was the third person, or the person that was shot, the third
yeah.
person, but he survived, and he actually testified
yeah.
at the trial.
So
but
when,
go ahead.
When Gage, so when Gage heard that, and they said, well, where's that guy going? And Gage said, he said he thought he heard him say that he was the police, and he was with the police. But he wasn't. So it was a bunch
right.
of miscommunication. There was a bunch of amped up feelings and stuff. And then that's when the guy with the
right.
skateboard started chasing them through. And then the guy with the skateboard caught up to him because Kyle was just trying to get to the police. He wasn't like sprinting or he was just trying to get to the police. So that guy sprinted and hit him with that skateboard. Kyle didn't know why he was getting hit
yeah,
with the skateboard.
He's an active
he
shooter. Like, what do you do? But family, what do you do if you're in a situation where you know there's an active shooter? And you're up on an active
well,
shooter. You're going to try to neutralize the threat.
One guy was shot, and the guy was walking away. If there was an active shooter, he'd been shooting at all kinds of people in the crowd. If I heard there was an active shooter and all I had was a skateboard, I would not chase him down and hit him with a skateboard.
But, no, all it takes is one person. If you know that there's an active shooter, one person's dead, and you happen to come in contact with the active shooter, my response or my reaction would be to try to neutralize the shooter, whether I got a skateboard
or
2x4 or what.
Like, anybody else. You already see he's not shooting anybody else. And Kyle did have
yeah,
no
but
idea
he needs
that that's
to
what
just,
those people thought. Just because
exactly.
those people
so
thought
the police,
he was not the shooter. Listen,
right. So the police need to apprehend
people,
him or he needs to disarm his weapon. He needs to drop his weapon.
Yes.
Okay, everybody. I'm going to have to step in here.
I'm sorry.
You guys.
Just because he started with
really?
An active shooter doesn't mean that Kyle doesn't get to defend himself. Because Kyle doesn't
okay.
know that that's what they think. He just thinks that they're trying to kill him. Because
okay,
Kyle
I got
was saying that he wanted to kill him.
Yeah,
yeah
I got you. No doubt.
I got you. That's, yeah, we got it. I wish we had more time, Kyle. We appreciate it. We got We're running out of time. But I really wish we had more time to stay on that conversation. Because I have a lot to say about it, you know. I do too.
That's why I can't let it go. I understand, but yeah, good.
I see.
You know.
I had to stop in
yeah.
there, but let's see.
Yes,
if we
indeed.
Can, so we can get at least a few more if we can, guys. It's going to make this quick. Area code 314-616, caller. You're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment? Make it plain.
Okay. Make it plain. Make it brief. How's everybody doing? Real quick, because I know we took up so much time. It's interesting how we sit here and trying to deal with the law that's gathered around white supremacy, and you're making sense out of nonsense. You're measuring a gun. So pretty much what I get out of this
right.
thing is when it comes to something that they are more likely to do, it becomes legal. Because Kevin is black, and Kevin would probably have a handgun. That's going to be illegal. But whether it's 16 inches or 4 inches, well, it doesn't matter. Guns kill. You see what I'm saying? And
right.
it's funny how we're defending this case, but I look at another case in Wisconsin with a 17-year-old black woman who was trying to get away from a person that was raping and trafficking her and killed him, but she's behind bars and fighting appeals. So see how it switches up? And that was actual self-defense. I don't think anybody invites himself into a rape. But this person
exactly.
chose to be where he was at. That's all. I was really trying to beat Pianchi because I wanted to get his insight on that. And then the second thing
mm-hmm.
with the whole Dolph case, I think there's more behind the madness than we're willing to really dig into. I don't think that these things are by chance. I'm also seeing where these record labels are buying into like a group insurance, if you will. So what's to say that they aren't the ones that are actually engineering these things? Because we know that
That's
when
right.
a rapper dies, you know, the streaming goes up. There's something to talk about,
yeah.
bloggers and vloggers, you know. So
yeah.
I think we need to really start looking at that because in my mind, because we live in an outdoor prison. We're under so much surveillance, it's almost impossible to commit a crime. I can go out and
exactly.
wait in Chesterfield somewhere and do something. But with the surveillance, there are people that are in my neighborhood that have a ring that they could easily just find, like, you know what, this car left North St. Louis and went out to Chesterfield. So it's really hard for me to believe that not only his situation, but even what's going on in Chicago and around the country, where people are so-called getting away with these crimes. So I'm going to leave that's it right there. I'm going to keep it brief, give you guys a chance to feedback.
Yes, indeed.
All right, thank you.
Yes, indeed.
Appreciate
you, caller. You want to try to get another call before we wrap it up? We'd be cutting it close, I know.
Yeah, Wayne. I'm sorry, callers. We have to do it next.
We have to do it next week. But, yes, indeed. This was a great show. You know, a lot of people had a lot of opinions. There was a lot going on. I think the last caller made some good points. It seems with the justice system, you know, they can always move the goalposts. The gun was 6 inches long because they got a thing with rifles, and if it's shorter than this inches, and, you know, all these technicalities and whatnot. But, again, we know how the system works. We know the outcome that they want. And, again, the victims in this case were considered to be far-left white men, right? So it doesn't matter. Kyle Rittenhouse was a white kid at the time, minor, who shot two people who should not have been in that situation as a minor, who should not have had that weapon as a minor, whether you talk about the inches or whatnot. He shouldn't have been there, period. He went there instigating, trying to be this big vigilante and show up. But there's videos of Kyle Rittenhouse with white supremacist groups and, you know, these far-right groups throwing up the OK sign and this and that. So we know where his position stands. He did an interview with Tucker Carlson recently where he's saying he supports Black Lives Matter and this and that. But I think I call BS when I see it. I think he'll say anything because he's been acquitted and he's not doing any jail time. But I think that the guy is full of shit. You know, at this point he's 18, so he's legally an adult in a lot of states. So I think he's full of it. I just think this reinforces how, you know, white supremacy can move the goalposts and they can protect their own. I want to say the judge was in on it, the DA, the prosecutor, everybody involved in this case was in on letting Kyle Rittenhouse be acquitted. And that's just what it is. The last caller brought up the previous previous situation where a 17-year-old girl was convicted of killing her quote-unquote rapist, allegedly. And, you know, it just is what it is. Like, we just got to keep it real, fam. Like, let's not sugarcoat it. Let's just keep it 100. So I'm going to digress because I know we're coming down, and I'm going to let y'all go. But thank you, everyone. Thank you, callers. We appreciate it.
Not coming down. We down.
Hey, Gucci Man got off too, y'all.
O.J. Simpson got off too.
Gucci Man killed people.
O.J. Simpson ain't killed nobody, though. Let's,
he got off.
We
got
to do that.
O.J.
got
off.
One quick thing. Hey, Kyle shouldn't have been there. The people he shot, they shouldn't have been there neither.
Somebody just woke up. Oh, okay. All right.
They shouldn't have been there neither.
Okay. All right.
They shouldn't have been there neither, right?
They were adults, though. No, at least they were adults. I can give them that.
Here's the thing. The environment was hostile. So the hostility in the environment should not have been there. If you just got people just walking, going places, you know, then that's fine. There's no confrontation. There's no hostility. There's no yelling. There's no hostile things going on. Then that's fine. But if the environment is hostile, why would anybody go there? And one of the callers, one of our alumni called in and, you know, made a point like you can go join the military at a certain age. Okay, but go do that. Have him to do that then. If he's so patriotic and he cares that much, then let him go join the military. Then he can shoot everybody without going to court. If he just really cared that much, You know, let him do that. But he's not in the military right now doing that. And like I said before,
right.
My concern is that give people the idea that they can be in the military without being in the military. They can take matters in their own hands.
Yeah, they're vigilantes.
That's just in society as if they're in the military.
At least you
and that's just
them should have been.
And that's,
yeah,
and
we,
that's
we'll,
just
we'll continue this next week.
None of them should be.
Yes, indeed.
Whole big ball.
We'll I had to come back to bring
a little bit of time.
Did you get some water before you came up trying to talk?
I had to bring a little bit of common sense to the situation. None of them should have been there.
Did you go get you some water?
They all should have been at home.
Wash your face and all that after you woke up before you coming up in here talking all that crap.
They all should have been at home.
Right, but the onus is on the perpetrator, is on the murderer. You know, when you say they all should have been at home, that really falls on the person who murdered the other two people. You know what I'm saying? Like, he the one
if
who
they
took,
was
some,
at home,
took two people lives.
If
right,
they was at
it,
home,
it
they wouldn't have
gotten
murdered.
Right,
that's
because it starts with him, because if
they
he was at home, exactly, if he was at home, they wouldn't have been murdered.
And if
it
they and if they was at home, they wouldn't have got murdered. So none of them should
but
have
two
been
other
there.
People, but two other people would have got murdered, though, if the murderer was still there. Two other people would have got murdered. See, that's
not
what I'm saying.
They
it falls on there, the murderer.
Not if they hadn't been there either. None of them
no,
would have been there.
The murderer, no, if the murderer would not have been there, nobody would have been murdered.
Not if
there
was no
it
victims.
It falls
though.
On the murderer. Yeah,
no
saying,
victims,
but,
nobody could have got murdered. See? That's all.
But
I'm
he
would
have shot two other
had,
people. No, in my
had,
opinion, he went
had
out
nobody,
there two people. He would have shot two
nobody
other people.
Had been there.
No I can't believe it's possible. The end of the show to do the show.
The Lord woke me up.
To do the show at the end of the show.
The Lord tapped my shoulder and said, the Lord tapped my shoulder and
wait
said, Brother Mufasa.
You a cool brother. That's all I want to say. You cool. You can wake
it,
up
Mufasa.
And come up in the end of the show to do the show, boy. You cool.
The Lord said, Mufasa,
never,
take the wheel.
Like, you still got them Farrakhan glasses on right now?
Take the wheel, boy.
You still with them?
Take the wheel.
Jesus took the wheel for you, brother.
He's sitting up there policy with them glasses on. Well, I can see you now.
Hilarious, bro.
Take the wheel.
Yeah, it was a good show. You know, it was a good show. I wanted to continue because everybody.
Yeah, I got some more. We
got
to continue this next week. Yeah, we got to continue this next week because I got a few other points. It's like, come on, fam. We gotta look at what's going on, and not be fooled
right.
by the propaganda. Yes, he.
Right.
You
Everybody
can say he
be
was
honest.
Defending himself. Yeah, like you can say he was defending himself, but what he put himself in that situation. Like, come on, fam. You can't put yourself in a hostile situation, then show
so
yourself defense when somebody approaches you. Like,
put
no,
themselves in
it
that
don't
situation.
Work like that.
Shouldn't have ran Obama.
Yeah, and then the second dude, again, like the caller said, the second dude was responding to an active shooter in the area, which was Kyle Rittenhouse. So
he
approached him.
He should have let the police handle it. He should have let the police handle it.
The police wasn't
doing
that,
got shot. So that would have, so he should have minded his business.
Everybody
he should have minded
his business.
The
police wasn't doing nothing.
And he would still be alive. You know, guess what? He's somewhere up on the cloud right now saying, I should have minded my business. I would still be alive. But now I had to run up on a man with a gun. You fool. You should have stayed at home.
So the boy didn't have a gun either?
No, he didn't have,
who
a gun?
Have a gun.
So he shot a man without a, so he shot a man without a gun.
Yeah,
the man without a gun ran up on somebody with a gun.
Yeah,
dummy, you big dummy. You should have stayed. You should have managed your business.
So,
Just you understand you stop her. You big dummy. Sticking your nose where it don't belong, and now you dead.
So he's trying to unarm me. I thought the boy
right.
was
right. He's trying to unarm me.
No.
No, he did not have a gun.
So he shot an unarmed man. Wow.
The ones who died, I don't think they had a gun. Somebody out there did have a gun.
Yeah, it was other people out there with guns.
Man. He should have been, I mean, why he didn't fight like a man? You know, he out there patriotic and, you know,
right.
he can go to the military.
Hey.
You know, why
I'm
he
gonna tell
you didn't, why he didn't fight?
If I got four or five people running up on me and I got my gun, the gun
is coming
out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's more than one person chasing.
So look, hold on. Let me ask you this, Mufasa, bro. Let's say we had a protest in Ferguson, and let's just say we don't have guns or whatnot, but we get word that there is an active shooter. And the description of the shooter, we write by the shooter. What are we gonna do with the shooter? And we ain't got no gun. We've been told it's an active
shooter. I'm tipping off to my car
to get your gun.
That's what I'm doing.
And you write by the shooter.
To get your gun.
I'm not gonna run up on him, and I ain't got no gun.
Right. No, I agree with that. I'm not gonna run up on nobody.
I got that.
What you gonna
do?
I get it.
Right.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm even pretending like we're on the same side so I can get to one. I ain't finna be attacking him. He got an AR-15. Man, please.
Right.
The first guy who got shot, he is actually chasing this dude. Chasing him. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate if y'all saw the story on him, he had just got out of mental hospital.
He had just got, exactly, that's what I was about to say. He just got out of mental, he literally had his bag and possessions. He had just got out of a situation. Yeah. So he was definitely
just got out of mental hospital.
I'm not going to run up on nobody with no gun. I'm not going to run up on nothing hospital. Even if they didn't have a gun. If you mad, I'm not trying to run up on you.
No.
Well, I mean, for me, some of my thinking is if you up on me, like say I'm in a situation where somebody's shooting, and if you up on me, I'm already feel like I'm dead, so I'm going to try to do something to discharge the weapon.
Man.
That's just
me.
You know what I'm saying?
If I feel like I'm already in danger.
And if you write up on me, I feel like I can do
that's what I'm going
to do. Well,
yeah, no, if I can get away, I'm going to get away. But if I feel like you write up on me and if I got a chance to fight, I'm going to fight because I feel like, okay, I'm already in a bad situation. I'm trying to get out. But if I can get away, I'm going to get away. But if you up on me, I'm going to try to do something.
I understand that, Brother Kev, but in each one of them situations, they ran up on it. They had the opportunity
to not be the aggressor themselves.
Like they chased him down. You know,
like I said,
they were attacking him. Tell me, out of those two men who lost their life, which one of them two men was not attacking him? That's all I want to know. None of them. Both of them were attacking a man with a gun. And that was just stupid.
Right.
And they paid for it with their life. See, I'm all about common sense. I say this about when our people do something crazy. And it's just, it was stupid that they did something that was dumb. The dumb move cost them their life. Because you did not have to run up on this man, whether he had an AR or not. You could have just went on about your business. You had to run up on him, but you ran up on him and you paid for it with your life. The one dude lost all, his arm got blew off because he wanted to try to run up on a man with a gun and lost it. Luckily, he didn't lose his life.
Right.
Each one of them could have just turned around and said, go call the police. Let me go get, you know, they didn't have to run up on them like Superman.
Not run up on nobody with no gun. That's why, see, my argument was never whether he should or should not have shot them. Because, like, I made my point very clear. I think for anybody, anybody would have shot him in that situation, whether they started it or not. Because at that point, you would just feel like you're just trying to live, survive. So my argument was never that. I do think that most people is arguing about this. I think this is a case where people are just comparing it because it was a Black Lives Matter protest because of an officer shot an unarmed black man again. Those people were there protesting, so people was angry. And then this happened. Someone got shot there. So people are just making comparisons as if, okay, if this was a black person, well, this situation would be different. I really think that's really just a sentiment all the way around without people not really expressing it that way. You know, so without them saying it that way, instead it's more so coming out like, he shouldn't go to jail. It was just, they're saying it the wrong way. You know, because I think anybody in their right mind would have shot if they were cowed just because of just human survival instincts. You know, whether you were in the wrong or right, I think that's just, I don't think it's a matter of that. I just think that if like Brother Kev mentioned before on the show, if it was different, if it was another way around, the outcome would be different. It would have been totally different. And I know people don't want to admit it, but that's where it comes down to really being honest. And if you can't be
like
honest.
Like I said, Gucci Man shot two people too. Gucci Man killed somebody, he got free. So, I don't know where you're coming from, but look.
Who did he kill?
Did
he kill a rich white man that was a lawyer?
Exactly.
Who did he kill?
The victim. Who did he cow?
You bet Gucci Man ain't gonna get
comparing the two situations, who did cow?
He killed a similar type of character in the court's eyes. Somebody that didn't have a lot of money. They already said that he was already convicted of some crimes. So he cow and Gucci Man both killed similar characters. So that's why the outcome is the same.
And they both got off.
Neither one of them went to jail because the life of the person that they killed is not valued. So,
right.
Just like black people are not valued, another thing that parallels. Those two parallel. So if we're talking with honesty and we don't want to acknowledge the parallel in the situation, then it doesn't even make sense to have a conversation because at that point, people just arguing just to argue because you have to be honest. If you don't see similarities and parallels in those two things, then it's just going to be a back and forth thing, you know. And it's not a matter of, you know, somebody trying to convince anybody of anything. It's just being honest of the true facts. Gucci Man, you mentioned him. No, he didn't go to jail because I bet you any money the person that he killed, of those two people, their lives was not valued because they probably paralleled the same type of person and people and characteristics of the same type of people that Kyle killed and black people. That's why did nothing happen to Gucci Mane. And that's why did nothing happen to Kyle. And that's why don't nothing happen to the white folks. They kill black people. And that's why don't nothing happen to black folks when they kill other black people. Only time the punishment go down hard is when the person that was killed or victimized is a person that's a valued white person in most cases.
Right. Yeah. Facts. That's facts.
So value black person get killed, they killer won't go to prison?
No, they probably will.
It's up in the air because it's black. Black already is devalued. Then they add other. Then they look into other things. First, they try to find reasons not to because they're going to say, they had found weed in them. They found weed in his house. His mama used to smoke. They look for other reasons.
Right, so look.
Black.
Do you have any case that I could compare that to? Like, what well-known black person was killed like that, and you know they killer got out.
I
like me, point me.
I tell you,
I mean, shit. Malcolm
that
X,
white
Martin Luther
that
King.
Went into that boy's house and killed him by accident. I know you'd say what she got was cool. I still think that ain't nothing. So that's why I'm using
that. You talking about the police officer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, but even though you didn't agree with her, she still went to jail.
But she didn't get a harsh punishment. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it wasn't a harsh punishment after murdering someone.
Yeah, but she still went to prison. She still went to prison.
But it wasn't for a fair amount of time. It wasn't a harsh punishment. People, yes, go to prison. Yes. But I'm saying
right,
that
so
her
who
punishment.
Got off? You saying somebody got off? I heard Brother Kevin say, like you said, Malcolm X.
Look, you do know, just this past week, two people who was charged in Malcolm X killings got exonerated, right? Because they didn't have enough evidence for the killing. So what I'm saying is. The main culprits who killed Malcolm X or orchestrated it, let's say, I don't think they got the appropriate amount of time. And he was a high-profile black person. You know, if anybody, you know, should be convicted or you should get the top, whoever orchestrated it, it could have been a CIA government, whoever, they should be punished.
Now,
you know, they should be
when they so-called did try to punish somebody for the crime, they gave them, you know, 20 years. Now, we could say, you know, it was the right person or the wrong person, but when they said this is who did it, that person went to jail for a lengthy amount of time.
And one of the
brothers cooperated
and was out. Now, I was going to say one of the brothers cooperated or whatnot, and he was out. Like, I don't know if he did the whole 20, but these people have gotten out. You know what I'm saying? There's people who have gotten life for less. But you kill an influential leader in a black community, you only get 20 years? Like, come on, family. Like, what are we doing? That's because, again, it was Malcolm X. He was a black man. It's like, the value is not there, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? So,
but they
that's
gave
just what it is.
20 years, though.
Right. So why would you get life?
Convicted killers 20 years.
This is right, but this is a premeditated situation where you killing a straight up activist and someone powerful in the community. You're not killing no regular smegler person. You killing somebody at the height of their career, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm still
so
waiting on y'all to
pull
y'all point. I need
you know
y'all to pull your point, though, about somebody, an influential black person got killed, and they kill a Walt.
No. I'm not saying Walt, because that would just be a travesty, but we could look at the
Cause that's
amount
what
of
y'all
time.
Was comparing Kyle's situation to. Y'all like, you know, because he was white, he walked. And if it was a black person, they wouldn't have walked. If he'd have killed some black people, they wouldn't have walked.
If he
was a
black
person, they wouldn't have walked.
If he would have killed some black people, he would have walked. What I'm saying is if the roles were reversed, if it was a black person that killed the same two white people, they would not have walked. That's what I'm saying.
No, okay.
That's what I was saying. But no, if he killed some black people, Kyle, he would have definitely walked. It would have been a mistrial.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would have even got this far. If he would have killed some black people, it would have just been like, yeah, it was self-defense. He killed them. And he off, you know.
Well, I tell y'all this. We went around and around. I just hope the learning lesson for me in this is mind your business. I'm learning more and more as we had these discussions. Like, mind your business. Like, first off, you're upset that I don't even remember who
who the cop killed. Like, what was the whole uproar? Remind me what the uproar was about. Which case was it? I was
that
out
was
there
Jeff
protesting.
Blake.
Who they got killed?
But Jeff Blake, the brother who walked around the car in Wisconsin, Kenosha. Remember, he walked around
mm-hmm.
the car, and it was like he was reaching for something, and the police shot him. You know, he was arguing or having a conversation with the police.
I don't even know much about that case.
No, you remember
that
case?
I don't even know much about the case where it kicked off.
No, you remember that case because we talked about it. He walked from the passenger side around to the driver's side and started reaching in the car, and they was giving commands to stop or whatnot, and they shot him.
Oh, he didn't die?
He was like, yeah, he was reaching. Right, he didn't die.
He survived, right?
Yeah, he survived, right.
That's what they was out there for?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I wish you had. Oh, my God. That's what they was out there protesting for?
Yeah.
Oh, please. They lost their life for that? God.
Hey.
See, they all of them. Look, that was a whole big. All of them was done. All of them was done. That was real. That all of them was done. Golly,
hilarious.
I didn't know that's what the well,
yeah.
that's what it was about. All that was about that. Jeez,
yeah.
that's really unfortunate. They lost their life for a man who already admitted his own self. He should have just listened. He said on his own mouth, and they. Oh wow, that's pathetic. That's pathetic. So that make it even worse. They said, I wouldn't have been out there protesting.
Right.
So
and
people
have been out there talking about he protecting businesses. So that's
now,
my thing.
Now, let
like,
me say this, know? And this is going to probably sound like I'm defending him, but look, check this out. Because I thought about Roger in this situation. You know, they was out there. One of the businesses they burned down was a car business. They burnt up all this man's fleet of cars. What did he had nothing to do with what happened to old boy with the police shot? He had nothing to do with that. Why would y'all burn up his car lot? Why? He got a family to feed himself. He got nothing to do with this. But because you mad because the police shot this man and he didn't die, y'all burnt down this man's business? He had nothing to do with that. Like, what about him and his family? What about maybe now he might lose his mortgage and be put out on the street for nothing? So they shouldn't have been out there burning business. They should just stay themselves at home. People are going to have to start wising up and moving smarter. And that was just ignorant to be out there tearing up and burning up stuff over somebody who should have listened when the police told him to stop and even admitted out his own mouth he should have stopped. So it was just a whole big snowball of ignorance. A whole
right,
big snowball.
Had
old boy when
case.
They told him stop. Matter of fact, let's go all the way back to even why the police were coming. Had he not been out there fighting, because it was a fight that even brought the police there. Had they not been in the streets fighting, the police wouldn't have been called. Had he listened to the police when they told him stop, instead of going in the car to go, just, I'm going to go anyway, he wouldn't have got shot. Had the protester said, I'm going to mind my own business. I'm not going to go out here and be side by side with people that's burning businesses down and acting a fool, they wouldn't have got shot. Had Kyle said, you know what? I'm going to stay where I'm at and let them worry about their own businesses. He wouldn't have been went to trial. It was just a whole big snowball of stupidity.
Yeah, stupid. He should have been there.
And you running up.
He didn't have
and
no
again, and again you running up on a man. You running up on a man with a gun in his, with an AR in his arm. You chasing him.
Right.
No,
that's not smart.
Right beside him and you punch him in the head.
That's not smart at all.
I wouldn't do that. Just like I wouldn't have been there.
That's not smart.
Protecting somebody else's business that's not mine. I'm not no police officer. I'm not no security guard, so you can't hire me to come and protect your business in a hostile environment and put myself in harm's way. Why gotta take a gun? As a business owner, car dealerships, we supposed to have insurance. So they should be okay. Yes, it's
right.
Inconvenience, you ain't gonna like it, but you have insurance for that, you know. So my business is still not worth my life. So I'm not getting ready to put, and I know other people do, other business owners, they go, if they know they don't have insurance and they know this is all they got and this is how they feed their family, they do go out and post up with their guns and all that. But that's their business. They're fighting for their life. But, I mean, it's not that serious for me. My life is worth more than this building, and my business is worth, my life is worth more than that. So I'm not going to put myself in harm's way. And since I wouldn't do it for myself personally, I'm not going to recommend it for nobody else. So I think those business owners, I think if they didn't have insurance, that's them being irresponsible as business owners, where they feel like they have to put themselves in harm's way because they got to go down there and protect themselves against an angry mob. What if, you know, somebody throw one of those Molly cocktails in the building and burn them up? You know, can't get out. They down there trying to protect something that they could potentially re-get again. It's just not that serious for me. So I'm not with any type of hostile stuff. It's not serious. I wouldn't be there. I wouldn't recommend nobody to be there. If they just feel like they have to, then you got to know the risk that come with it. You could die. You may have to kill somebody. All that you got to clarify. All you need to think about.
They all get the donkey of the day.
Somebody might have killed him.
They all get the donkey of the day.
You guys, I mean, everybody down there for me as far as I'm concerned, because I'm not going to do it. Y'all saw how I was when y'all took me down out of Ferguson. I'm looking around at everybody. I didn't stay down there very long, and I only went down there that one time. And even you, Toy, you even had concerns. You like, nah, I ain't going to keep coming down here. You know, at some point.
I mean, you have to wake up. We woke up real quick. We went down there, we came, we saw him, we was like, okay, yeah, this is not
That's what I'm saying. Who goes into a hostile environment? Yeah, or we're talking about you can go to the military, so why can't he go down there? That's dumb. That's a dumb decision to do that. You know, that's a dumb decision to do that if you are unwilling to take the risk. If you wouldn't take the risk, then your decision ain't dumb. You went down there fully armed, mentally knowing exactly, I might get killed tonight, or I might have to kill somebody. Whatever happens, will whatever go down, because I'm choosing to go down here to this environment that I already know is hostile, then I have to be willing to just go and, take it. You know, take it like a man. Don't be all up in that court crying now. You done killed somebody. You weren't crying then. Stand on it. You feel like you was right. Everything was up there. Stand on it. You up in there shaking and all like you in a nursing home. Forget that. Stand on it. Yeah. I shot him.
Right.
This is why.
Right,
this is crying for now. Be a man. You made your decision. You want to be in the Army? Go ahead and stand on that. Don't cry try to look feeble now.
Well, let's just say it's probably safe to say that when he did, he was all puffed up, full of pride, and he thought he was doing the right thing. But when he got locked up, and you know the reality check holler, he realized it's real. This is real. You know, I think And it was a dumb move. I'm sure if he could go back. Well, I can't say I'm sure because I ain't in his head. But I don't think he'll be running out to the next protest. I think he'll stay his little dumb self at home.
I don't know, Toy, because they paint him as a hero, so they may use him as a prototype.
Yeah, and a side note, he about to be rich off this. Y'all know that, right?
Oh. Right. Oh yeah. I was gonna bring this up on the last thing. You know, they even got they might get ready to investigate because they had a deal even before the case started with Fox. They getting ready to do a movie already.
Oh, yeah. You already
know.
The movie's coming.
They were talking about that on CNN, that they looking into that because they like that may have swayed some decisions with the courts,
the movie. Books.
With the people in the court.
Yeah, all that.
They already had to deal with Fox, too. I showed, dang, did I take a picture of that? I think I was intending to send it. I might not have got the picture in time. That's probably why I ain't sending it.
Yeah, about to get rich.
But, yeah,
he
they
was
somebody on Fox,
life.
Too.
So, there you go.
I know you
there
still listen. I'm looking dead at you, Art.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm going to sign off, y'all. I got to get
I'm still on the screen. I see you the only one on here with. I just can't bring you in now because I think it may not let me.
Right. I'm going to sign off, y'all. Appreciate it. But, nah, this is a good one. This is a good one. But
no,
I'm
I didn't even get a chance to play the outro. Messing around with Toy going to wake up to do the show at the end.
Hold on. Wait a minute. I can't take that credit by myself. I can't take that credit by myself because Brother Kev was on now like a loose pit.
He was. I'm all in the thread. Man.
I know. I seen the thread. Man, let him go.
Well,
we both didn't let him go.
We both going to have to share this one.
Yeah, man.
He was going so hard. That's what woke me up. Him and Art was going so hard, I woke up.
I'm in a hospital environment.
He came in here like, what's going on?
Right. Yeah, man. Yeah. I was like, man, please. Kevin, they fulfilled the show. They fulfilled it, baby. I ain't have to really say nothing. I thought it just played an outro on them, but I still had something to say. But
guys, They're like, wow, move.
Yeah, but he might as well sign up for the military now since, you know, he bought that life. You know, he old enough. You know, he want to be patriotic. He want to go out there and protect this community. As you said, or, you know, what's wrong with that? Nothing. So go on, sign up for the military and do that, you know, or become a police officer. You know, do that. And that was my concern. That's what I was saying to myself.
Yeah, he needs to be steered in the right direction.
Yeah, I
so
think
I
it's going to give people the impression that
his,
you just do that.
Bravery.
Take matters in their own hands.
And he definitely is a good shot. So I commend his bravery, but it was stupid that you went down after that. But, hey, I give you, you know, I commend your bravery. Yeah, you need to go join the military or the Peace Corps or something.
Our paramedics don't carry a gun. They don't shoot people. So he might need to reconsider his goal.
we need to just hang up and call Art on the three-way.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Because we can't hear him. All right, let me call.
Yeah, we
can.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Peace.